This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Clouds to the left, dark clouds to the right, here I am stuck in the middle.
Hi, I'm Tracy.
And I'm Susan.
And this is the club for women in the middle.
You know, the ones with little kids and big kids and aging parents and work and hormones and money and a to-do list that breeds overnight.
Welcome to the Sandwich Club.
Hey, Tracy, another week, another sandwich.
Absolutely. Hi, Susan.
So what's in your sandwich this
week? What's in my sandwich this week is friendships.
Yeah.
What do they look like at this age? And, you know, let's talk about all that. Friendships at last.
Yeah, I think I've had a couple of really cool experiences with friends, actually, in the last few months. So the first one, I connected, thanks to the power of Facebook, some years ago, you know, the mutual friend connection thing.
Yes.
Connected through Facebook with a girl that I'd been best friends with at intermediate, so when we were 10 or 11, and hadn't seen each other or anything, but had just kind of connected on Facebook. And it transpired that she lives in Wellington now. And so I was down there the end of last year for work, and I contacted her and said, "Oh, we should get together."
Yes.
And you never know, right? Like, yeah. So what's gonna happen? How will it be? And you know, 45 years worth of connection.
Wow.
We hadn't seen each other, and it was so weird because when you're 10 or 11, so we'd bike to school together every day, right?
Nice.
And she'd stop at my house, pick me up. We'd bike to school every day for 2 years. And she was Mormon, so we didn't see each other on the weekends because she was doing her church thing, but it was a solid friendship despite that. She went off to Mormon College, as it was called, at Temple View, and I don't know why, but we just never saw each other ever again. So even though she only lived around the corner, she was doing her thing, I was doing mine, and that was the end. Never occurred to me to think I could phone her. I don't know why you didn't. Anyway, we met up, and so 46 years we worked out it had been since we'd seen each other, and looked at each other and went, "Oh, you just look exactly the same." And then spent a really cool evening just catching up, talking about what had happened to our lives, and interestingly had followed really similar trajectories. So, you know, had gotten married, had kids, gotten divorced, both worked in the public service, doing similar jobs. It was really, really quite amazing.
Yeah.
And then, as I mentioned, the last episode, I've just had a holiday in America.
Yes.
So when I was 13, at high school, there was a travelling orchestra that came from America. And they came to New Zealand and we were billeting musicians. So my family billeted this musician called Julie and we decided to write letters. So since then, so that was 1986, actually 85, we have been writing actual letters.
Still today?
Yes.
Wow.
Not so often anymore, and we are connected on social media, but we had been writing snail mail letters for the last 40-something years.
Man, to get a snail mail letter, come on, people, send me a letter.
I know, so cool. And so, again, for some reason, we never spoke on the phone, we never video called, we just stuck with this writing letters thing. And so we met up in America.
Wow.
And so she flew out to New York and actually met me on the street in Madison Avenue. And it was really busy. And, you know, there's all these people harassing you going, come. And I went, "No, thank you very much." And she went, "It's me."
Oh.
And there she was. And this friendship just picked up.
That's
we had the
incredible.
Same sense of humour. We were interested in the same things. And it was just the coolest moment of connection, you know, that we were able to do that. And that power of friendship, to me, it just brought it back. Wow, this is so cool. Yeah. And the friend that I travelled with, I've known for 20 years, met through our kids, you know, because Play Centre, that's where you meet,
that's where you meet friends.
And her and I now live in different cities. And again, that friendship just picked up.
Yeah.
And so, I love this idea that friendships can last a lifetime.
Yeah.
But how do you pick your people?
The way I picked people when I first got here. So obviously when I immigrated, I lost all my friends. Mm. And you think, well, I'm going to keep in touch and we'll Facebook each other and
we'll
talk all the time. But the difference in time made a difference. And also when you get here, you're just trying to put your feet down and land.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you start to meet people. I joined a Venus businesswoman's group and thought, try and connect with people there. And then I started kind of making friends. And so I made a lovely, she was a client, and I made this lovely, she was a lawyer, and we just connected. And I thought, that's great. And then I met a lovely accountant lady, and we connected, and I thought, that's great. And eventually my husband had met them, and he said, I think you are replacing all your friends from South Africa. Because I had this, like, she's crazy, not ditzy, but she's crazy and a lawyer, but super smart. But just, I love it. We go a little bit crazy when we're together. We think of all sorts of weird things. And then this very responsible accountant, just the same kind of people.
Mm.
And so Gary said, I think you're replacing all of your friends.
Mm.
And I wasn't consciously doing it. But I think because those are the people that you connect with, right? So that's what I think it was.
Yeah, and maybe you just... I read a thing once. I keep saying I read a thing once.
I love it. I do read quite a bit. You're so learned.
I'm so learned. Yeah, I read it on the interwebs. This thing that said, you know, sometimes it is about you look at someone and go, oh, you're my people.
Yes.
You know, and there is all of those people you meet in your life. So there's this dude called Robin Duncan.
Yeah.
You can Google him.
I will.
So he's an anthropologist,
right.
Studies baboons.
Right.
But also has done heaps of studies, I think Cambridge University in the UK, heaps of study around relationships and what builds relationships, the kind of social fabric of relationships. And one of the things he talks about is how he uses the word gossip, but actually what he's talking about is social fabric and social conversation. That's the thing that builds community and friendships. But he also has said that in your life, you can have a cognitive load of about 150 people is about all you can manage.
Right.
And of that 150, you'll probably end up with 5 good friends at the end of your life.
Wow.
And I find that really interesting because, I have a really wide circle of friends, people that I'm friendly with and that I would count as friends.
Yes.
But those really close friendships where you, you know, talk about the chin hairs or whatever the thing is, you know, prepared to get them to look at your neck, Gina. Those people, it's a pretty small group.
Yes.
And it's really rare that you get all those people in a room together, right? That's a special moment.
Yes.
You know, I've got a photo on my fridge of my closest friends. One couldn't make it, but this photo, we were all in a room together, all bar one. And that was really special to get those people together, even though it was only just for lunch, because they're from different parts of my life.
Yeah. So normally they probably wouldn't be in the same room if it wasn't for you being the common denominator.
Yeah,
I guess
I'm the denominator. Yeah. So if I think about the ladies' Christmas thing, which I've been doing, which you've come to, you know, those are all those people that I've had connections with over 20, 30, in some cases nearly 50 years.
Yeah.
And so these people all coming together, that kind of warms the cockles of my heart. But some of them I only see once a year. The friendship picks up where it left off, but it's a different kind of friendship. To, you know, when, because girls are mean, when you're young and it's about wanting to be best friends with the cool girl and she never wants to be your friend and you can't understand it because you're really nice.
Yeah, she won't give you a chance.
Yeah, it won't give you a chance. And so those friendships that kind of spring out of proximity.
Yes.
I guess it's kind of the same when you're older, but they have it's a different edge, right?
Absolutely. And I think you look for different things in people when you're older, because you also don't have the time to spend a lot of the time. So you've got to have friends that are okay with you not living in their pocket. And we all have busy lives at this age. So you need to pick up where you left off and not to be hard. I find I'm not a good friend in that I keep contact with people. They kind of, when they're out of my circle, they're kind of out of my circle, out of my thoughts.
Yeah.
But when I do connect with them, I just love it. So this year, that's been one of my goals, is to invest more into the friendships to people that actually mean a lot to me. Because I think it's very easy if you get busy to push that aside. And especially when I was studying, I just didn't have the time for those people. And when they're not kind of in my circle, I do forget about them. It's terrible, but I am one of those people that won't keep in contact.
People get that, and I guess, you know, you're sending the endless memes, right?
Yes.
There is something there is definitely truth in the meme that says, you're my friend because I've sent you 15 reels today, you know.
Yeah.
But I heard a... a speaker at a work thing recently, and it talked about that idea of what the value in that thinking. So if you're thinking about someone and you're sending them the meme, or you're sending them the article out of the newspaper, or whatever, whatever it is, whether it's a snail mail or it's a text or whatever, you're still thinking of that person. Yes. And for lots of people, that's super valuable. Yes. And the fact that you may not have been able to spend quality time, using my little fingers, quality time for 2 hours or 3 hours or a weekend or whatever, that doesn't matter so much.
Exactly.
But for other people, it's the quality time thing that counts. And they'd rather see you for 3 hours and then not at all for a year, if that's what it takes, you know?
Yeah. I've got two Irish friends. I love them to bits. And so I've got them on Messenger in a little group. And at first I thought, they must be so sick of it. Every time I see something Irish, I would send it to them. And then we got together, and because we have the occasional get-togethers, and we all sew something, make bags and what have you.
Oh,
and,
cool.
I just said to them, does it irritate you? And they said, no, we love that you saw something and went, oh, my goodness, they'd love it. And they said, it's always funny, it's always appropriate, even though it's inappropriate. You know, you can send them things like that. And they said, we get what it means. You're reaching out and saying, hi, I'm thinking of you. Mm. And they love that. And so I think it is good to do that. There's not many people I do that with, but they've got a real it's a really specific kind of sense of humour.
And I think that's that immediate, you know, I've got my really closest friends. I can send, if you think about the social media thing, I can send them a meme, a cartoon or whatever with no context.
Yes.
And they know exactly what I'm talking about. They know the conversation I'm referencing that could be 6 months old, 12 months old. So while I think in some ways social media has, there's lots of people that say it's killed relationships. Yeah. I'm not so sure. I think probably the relationships that weren't there in the first place, maybe it's killed. But I think the meaningful ones, it really hasn't made much difference. Yeah. And I have to say, I really love being able to video call people. And I don't know why I don't do it more. I get on a call with someone, I think, why don't we do this more often?
Yes,
You know?
Yeah. In our family, we do that mostly. Everyone calls video call.
Right,
We all do it. And I don't know who started it, but that's how we never just phone each other. We always have a video call.
Yeah.
And I love that we can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up watching Buck Rogers. Did you ever Buck Rogers
here? Yeah, I think it was here.
Yeah. And I remember them kind of talking to each other on screen. I was like, wow, that would be amazing. One thing I'm glad that they don't have from that era, because it would have been now, is that we all wear Lycra. I'm just so grateful for that. Anyway, back to friendships.
So if I think about the friends I've got now, most of them, my close friends, they've been in my life a really, really long time. And I had a friend here from the UK recently, and she said, oh, you just put so much effort into your friendships. You really, she couldn't believe it that I was meeting with a pen friend, you know, after 45 years.
That's amazing.
And I thought, do I? I thought everyone was like that. And it was kind of a surprise to me to discover that that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's not a chore for me.
Right.
I get that energy from those people, you know.
Yeah.
And people would think that I'm an open book and that I'm, you know, everything you need to know about me, you know. But actually there's very, very few people that know, that really know me.
Yeah.
I could count. Yeah, I could maybe two hands, but definitely.
Do you have a relator in your Clifton Strengths?
I can't remember. I should know that, shouldn't I? Yeah.
So I've got Woo, and so we have a huge amount of friends.
Right,
and most of those people go, Tracy and I are besties, but there's probably a few people, and I've been intentional about it.
Mm.
But I have a friend who is Scottish. We grew up together. We were at school together. I used to walk past her house, pick her up, and then we used to go to school. One day we didn't. And then it's a one day, because I was such a goody two-shoes, the teachers phoned my mom to go, is Tracy all right?
Oh, that's so
anyway,
funny.
But she was really good. No matter where I went, she used to track me down and find me. You know, whether it was just she phoned people to find my number before social media, she would always track me down and find me. And I so appreciated that. And now we're friends on Facebook, so we can see what we're doing and what have you, which is really great.
Yeah, I think relator might be in there. I mean, I do kind of, you know, digressing a bit. I describe myself as that omnivert or whatever the fashionable term is now. So I get that energy from people. I need time away from people, and I really treasure my time away. Mm. And although we're not talking about empty nesting today because we've kind of done that, but that time just being on my own now, I really like. But I definitely love it. And I love, if I think about the ladies' Christmas I do, the Thanksgiving event, sometimes I do a midwinter one too, depending on circumstances.
Yeah.
I love being able to look out from my kitchen and see the people that are precious to me all in one room. I really love that, having those people around.
I feel very honoured then that I was invited to the last one. I've got all the fuzzies now.
All the fuzzies, yeah. No, it's great. And I think when you're time poor, I mean, I'm not time poor because it's just me and my job. You know, I have loads of time to do whatever I want to do. But for people that are time poor, and I think when you're partnered, you have less time because, of course, that primary relationship, especially if you've got a husband that's a little bit needy, which some of them are, that want to spend all that time with you, it's harder.
Yeah.
Having those kind of gatherings, my son calls it gatherings when he brings people together. We had a gathering at such and such a house. The flat is called Foot Rot at the flat.
Love it.
Yeah, we go to foot route. So those gatherings, bringing all those people together at once is actually a bit of a hack, you know, in terms of being able to engage with the people that mean something to you. The downside of that, of course, is that you don't get the deep, meaningful conversation. So
but that's
if you're
not what that's for.
No, that's right. But I mean, if you're a person that likes to plumb the depths of everyone's soul when you're having a conversation with them, that's probably not for you.
No.
But it is a really nice way to do it. And those regular gatherings and those friendships, I think, that the things that are really precious, the ones that mean the most, are definitely those ones that have been born out of some kind of either adversity or big event, you know, whether it was like my friend that was the billet, you know, it was a huge thing, came to the other side of the world, meet somebody, whether it's when the ones you meet through your baby group or whatever it is. It seems to me that they are the friendships that survive and get deeper.
Yeah.
So I've got one friend who I was friends with from third form. So we started high school, you know, same day.
Okay.
Different schools, but kind of saw each other and went, oh, you're my people.
Yes.
Back then, I was far more judgy in my friendships.
Oh, right.
So I was only friends with Christians because, you know, the devil was in all the people that were Christians. So I look back now and go, how ridiculous. But, you know, pretty much my whole circle was other Christian girls.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's changed. Yeah. That's still a culture. Yeah. God, there's a whole topic to unpack
there, right?
Isn't
that not the point, though?
Yeah.
You know, like, okay.
Yeah.
But another topic, perhaps.
Yeah, I think it is a topic. I definitely think that is, because that common ground is, you know, what formed the friendship.
Yeah.
You know, then I went through the rebellious stage and, you know, it was work friends and drinking, not that I even drank, but, you know, drinking buddies or whatever. Yeah. But then that next phase, you're overseas and your friendships are formed because you're in this unique OE environment. And one friend I met over there when I was travelling, still a really good friend. We get together a couple of times a year and again, just pick up where we left off and talk fondly about those times. And I feel really privileged that I've been able to amass those or, you know, kind
That's
of gather
awesome.
Those friends along the way.
Yeah.
But what about when good friendships go bad? Have you ever had that?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's one of the friendships that started here in New Zealand. And we were really good friends. And I think it started to tear a little bit when I was frustrated about my husband. I shared some things and she got angry with him and treated him differently the next time she saw it. And I was, you know, you want to have a whinge and a moan to someone, but I expect her to continue to love him and see him differently.
Right.
And I couldn't understand. I understood it, but I was so upset by it. And I think that had a little tear. And then there were just one or two things. I think we just grew apart. It's, you know, we were both middle-aging, growing into different things. And it started to get, not ugly, but just, I think we could sense that there wasn't a connection anymore. And
did
that
you
was
have
sad.
A formal breakup?
No, not really. We had a coffee because we kind of were trying to make it work. We had a coffee and she kind of, I think she left frustrated because I was irritating her. and I felt judged. And, you know, she kind of, we went our separate ways. And I was quite sad about that. But then also thought, actually, that was hard work. So, yeah, I mean, I love her as a person. She's incredible. But, yeah, it just became too much hard work. Have you ever had weird big breakup?
I haven't, but I've got a friend who actually, another person I've just recently reconnected with that I met on my first day of high school. And we have plans to get together. But I can remember her relating a story of how she had received this letter from someone who said we can't be friends anymore and then had outlined all the reasons.
Ouch.
And said it was as pain, well, she was, this was pre we were married, but she said it felt like this divorce, you know, that this friend had said, and, you know, you did this and you said that, and so we can't be friends anymore, and kind of drew this line under the friendship.
Wow.
And how painful it was. And then sometime after that, I came across this article. I think it was Mind Food magazine or could have been Cosmo. Who knows?
Perhaps.
Something full of good advice. And it talked about sometimes that was what you needed to do, because these things would drag on and you'd have these difficult conversations and, we must catch up, and you'd catch up and both of you be sitting there going, why are we doing this? Like that, nobody wanted to be the one to say, I think the friendship's over.
Right.
So some will come to a natural end, but this article, this psychologist or pseudo-psychologist said, actually sometimes you just draw the line and go, it's been amazing. I don't know how I feel about that, though. It feels quite formal, doesn't it?
Dr. Henry Cloud wrote a book called Necessary Endings, and I think, and he kind of says, it's like a bush. There's growth that happens that's growth and it's lovely and it's healthy, but it's too much and the root can't sustain it. So I suppose that would be time and what have you. So you just can't sustain that. And so that's when you would prune something. The other one is if it's disease, it's not good. It's a little bit toxic. So you would clip it off so it doesn't affect the rest of the bush. And the other one is it's dead. There's nothing here. And, you know, you just need to go, it's okay, it's finished. And, and not try and force it. Because I think at one stage we were kind of trying to make it happen. And then you can feel it when you're not just connecting and vibing and whatever the new people call it.
You've
got to be careful. Things that we said, vibing, might mean something different to these days. But, you know, when you meet someone, like I think you and I can't remember when we first initially met. Oh, on a board. We were trustees on a board. And there's just something about that person when you just click. And we didn't become like good friends then, but we kept bumping into each other. And you kind of, every time you meet, it kind of layers on, you're my kind of people. And then there's others that I've met, my crazy, she is crazy. And so am I when we get together. But my lawyer friend, you know, we got introduced by my boss at the time. And we sat down and he said he just felt like he should just leave because we've just connected. We laughed. He was like, it was like we were old friends. He said, I felt like, I think I should go because I'm just not even part of this conversation. And that was immediate. And then I had a friend, a client who I recently coached, and I knew it was going to be a short-term gig, so I just kept my coach hat on. But I kept thinking, man, I can't wait to finish this work because I actually want to be her friend. And so I kind of, and that's unusual. Normally, I'm not the one that pursues a friendship. I did, and I said to her on our last session, I said, I actually want to be your friend. And she was like, oh, me too.
Let's be friends. Yeah. And it feels like you're a kid, right? Yes. It feels kind of almost nervous. So, when my daughter was a baby, so Joseph hadn't been born, and I was running this, I don't even know if I was running it at that time, but I was going to this mainly music group, right? So a kids' music and movement class every week. And there was another woman there with a toddler, the same age, transpired a couple of weeks, different age to mine, little girl, and had a baby. And we kind of just sat down and connected, and I was like, oh, you're my people and what have you. And we met each week for two or three weeks. And then I said to her, oh, would you like to go and get coffee? And she's like, oh, yeah, I'd really love that. And I said, I feel like I'm asking you on a date, you know, like what if you say no? And then when we first went, you know, because you're leaving that safe environment of the baby group, what if we don't have anything to say to each other, what have you? But there was that instant connection, yes. And she is now, she's one of my special people,
wow.
You know, and so that friendship has survived, yeah. Has flourished over 25 years.
That's
we
it.
Don't live in the same town anymore, mm. So we don't see each other as much as I would like.
Yes.
But we do have, is again, lots of common experiences.
Yes.
We've both been through breast cancer. We've both got daughters in their 20s. We've had similar career trajectories,
right.
Going off and studying later.
Yes.
Like lots of things, migrant husbands that are English.
Yeah.
So lots of things that kind of were those threads that drew us together.
Yeah.
But chance meeting, right?
Yes.
That if I'd sat on the other side of the room, might never have spoken.
Exactly.
And then that person becomes a really good friend. And I really, that kind of magic of friendship is really fascinates
it
me.
Is.
Like what is it that makes that one person become your connection and one not?
Yeah.
And I remember one friend I met said, of all the people you meet in your life, your friends, your family, your workmates, your neighbours, your bosses, the parents of your children's friend, didn't matter who, all of these people that you meet through every connection, the relationships that you will look after the most and put the most care into is your friends.
Wow.
I was like, are you sure? What about your family?
Yeah.
No, because your family are your family regardless.
Stuck with them.
But a friend can leave at any moment. And so there's this evidence, no doubt, Robin Duncan found, it may have come from the same baboon guy. So, you know, this idea that those relationships have to be treasured is just so precious.
Amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Wow. Friendships are really important, especially at this age.
Yeah.
And what a treasure to have them around.
Totally. And my challenge to anyone listening is if there's a friend you haven't spoken to for a while.
Yeah.
Give them a call.
Give them a call.
Get them in your sandwich.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Hey, thanks for joining us today.
We're stoked if something in this episode sounded like you.
Come and find us on Instagram and tell us your moment. We read every message at the Sandwich Club Pod.
You can listen to the Sandwich Club wherever you get your podcast, here at Free FM or Apple, Spotify, or all the usual places.
And you can email us too, thesandwichclubpod@gmail.com.
We'll meet you in the middle.
Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.